We do have different points of view, and I'm very happy to say that the other commissioners are very interested in my opinions, which might not be the same as theirs.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we sit down with the new mayor of Saratoga Springs, New York. Well, like other public officials in the Northeast who took office with the new year, Mayor John Safford has marked 100 days in office in Saratoga Springs. The Republican ran on a platform of returning civility to public meetings. He sat down with WAMC's Aaron Shellow Levine to talk about his first few months on the job.
100 days into your administration, what are you and your staff proud of having been able to achieve so far?
Well, first of all, I'm very proud of my staff. If the best advice I've gotten right from the beginning is how important it is to have a good deputy and a good assistant, and I have to definitely say that I have the best. So at 100 days, we are making some progress in the basic things that we ran on. I mean, I ran on civility, obviously, and you and I have had a discussion about that. And we could talk about that if you'd like, because I think that's important, especially within City Hall. And connecting to my deputy, Joanne Kernan, the importance of getting anything done in a commission form of government can most effectively, I think, be done through the deputies. And if the commissioners have, maybe we don't all always agree, but you know, we have a civil understanding of, you know, how we're going to work together, then it allows the deputies to work a lot more closely together to actually get things done. So I am very happy to announce that is happening. And at 100 days, it definitely takes that long to really start to understand how things work, just the day-to-day. I mean, how to do the agenda, which is a primary activity in between the 2 weeks, meetings. But the simple things like even how to get an invoice billed or a PO filed. I mean, they're very simple things, but especially in this form of government, knowing how to do those things properly so that things don't get held up is important. Very mundane things, but we're starting to really see those things gel right now. And so we're kind of at a transition stage where we're really starting to look at trying to make things better. We're understanding it more. So that's where we're at. And I'm very happy with the staff I have.
And sort of, I think, going a little bit deeper into that, something that you have, as we've spoken, said that are proud of is the counselors are able to work together. That sort of seems to be what you were referring to.
Well, I mean, you can even see that at the meetings, that we're not fighting among one another. We're not talking over one another. And that translates into City Hall. We're very used to now stopping at each other's offices and just talking one-on-one, kind of working through difficulties or questions we may have on some of the legislation that we're working on. So there's a lot of that. I wouldn't call it collaboration, but it's willingness to listen to one another, because we do have different points of view, and I'm very happy to say that the other commissioners are very interested in my opinions, which might not be the same as theirs.
After 4 months of these city council meetings, how do you evaluate your approach to reining in the public comment period?
Well, first of all, respect. You'll notice that all the councilors or all the commissioners and myself pretty much listen to what, you know, we're respectful of the speakers. And the only thing that I really require is that they stay within their time frames for public comment. And we're pretty open to free speech. Obviously, we've had a lot of discussions with open meetings. And frankly, for people my age, free speech is not quite the same as we would want it to be. But so we respect the fact that people have a right, that, you know, they have a we give them a voice, and pretty much they say pretty much what they want. I would wish, and you know, we're kind of working toward, you know, the people who come up to speak should be relating to something in government or something that maybe is on the agenda, and I like to see more of that. It's sort of a, some of them have been sort of a show, you know. But, you know, we're letting them have their 3 minutes and showing respect to the fact, even though we don't like what they say sometimes, we're not trying to stop them from talking, as long as they stay within the 3 minutes.
What are the next steps, if you have any plans to change how you are approaching the city council meetings? Because I know at the beginning of your term, you maybe floated the idea of bringing that 3 minutes down again, one more step, and that's sort of been back and forth. And at a couple of the meetings, there's been clearly too many people to fit within a 30-minute time frame, and you've extended that. Are you going to formally change any rules or continue to go at it with sort of with each meeting?
Well, what you witnessed at that time was a willingness to cooperate with the other commissioners. So I plan on keeping that. And well, if you've noticed, obviously you're at the meeting, I need to get a vote in order to change it. But I, and we have a little discussion during those times. But we've been able to extend it enough. The other commissioners know that my intention is to let everybody who really has something to say, let them say whatever they're going to say. I do want to start limiting people getting up. You know, like if as you notice, I ask everybody who wants to speak to get up. But I haven't really gotten very adamant about other people not getting up, because what ends up happening is someone will hear something and they want to make a response, and then it just goes on and on. So I'm going to try and cut back on some of that.
And sort of those examples complicate what a lot of people have been saying is an unequal application of the rules that are in place. Sort of how are you working towards, again, appeasing or responding to some of those complaints?
I am responding to those. I'm trying to, you know, the main thing is we're there to do business. Without doing the business of the city, nothing happens. You know, good or bad in a commission form of government, pretty much nothing happens other than getting 3 votes to, you know, to decide on the simplest matters and the most, you know, profound matters. So that's what we're there for. And yes, our charter says that we need to have, we need to allow people to speak. It doesn't say when or how long or anything like that. But our tradition here has been to do that. So it would be changing years of tradition to alter that in some way. So I'm not inclined to do that. And we do want to hear from, you know, so it creates its own problems and its own benefits. So, I am working through it, but as you know, I have to get a vote of 3 to change anything. But that's why having a working relationship with the other commissioners is so important, and I've been able to achieve that so far.
One of your other main campaign points, apart from returning civility to City Hall, has been to complete the years-long process of establishing a homeless shelter, permanent, low barrier, 365 within the city. What's a progress update that you can give right now?
Well, certainly I'm working on it. That there's actually 2 things that I promised, and one is working with the planning department and making that more user-friendly. My deputy is working primarily on that right now. And as I say, at this point, we're starting to see what we can and can't do and what, how to actually try to get some things done. But my own personal interest is the homeless situation. And we certainly are following the advice that we got from the task force, and that is they made it pretty clear that the city needs to have some kind of a safe 24-hour place for people who are unhoused to go to. And we certainly have learned a lot in the last year or so with the Adelphi situation. And at the same time, a lot of people are confused about Code Blue, which was over at the Grand Union Motel this year, which is quite a different setup where management was a little bit more difficult. But that's managed by shelters, and the Adelphi facility is managed by RISE. And the Adelphi facility has many more rules. The shelter's management really has one mandate, and that's to help people, to do whatever they can to make sure nobody's freezing to death. So they don't have any real barriers to what they're doing there. But shelters, Adelphi does. So we've learned a lot. We've learned that with proper encouragement and services, that some people can be helped and actually can help move on in their life. And my primary interest in this whole process is that, not just finding a place that people can go, but to find a place where people can go. And my interest is what's called a navigation center, and that's where I'm headed. That's what I'm looking for. When you came in, I'm looking for, for property, and certainly other people within the commission are looking at properties right now where this might be used. And the task force identified five different places we might look at. But we're continuing to try to find, because there's a lot of requirements to meeting a place. But I'm working now on what a place would look like, and that would help to support the idea of a navigation center, navigating people to a better situation for their lives, and maybe even housing that they can maintain.
Talking to some local advocates for the unhoused and some of the local organizations, and even just locals who aren't, officially involved in it at all, one of the main things that they would like to see is some sort of communication from you, like we're having right now, and like we'll go out. Are you at all planning on or interested in, even at the beginning of a city council meeting, giving some sort of update?
Yes, I think on this agenda, I actually have an update on homelessness. The problem that we have there is, this is sort of in depth, and we're spending 10, 15, 20 minutes talking about it. I can't afford to do that at the meetings. But my main point in doing that will be to let people know that I am personally actively engaged in trying to find a solution for the unhoused, but to do it right, it might be the one. And what I say that, as I say, I'm looking for a 24/7 navigation center, which is going to be open to people in whatever situation they find themselves, but with a goal to change those life choices, to help them change those life choices. And there's a lot of sides to that. And certainly working with the county and with the sheriff's office and with the police department, as we're trying to find a way to embed a social worker with some of the police officers who are walking the beat, and even at that level, trying to offer opportunities for people who may be on the street to better their lives.
What sort of support is the city receiving, or conversations is the city having with the county in establishing this shelter?
I recently had a meeting with the county, and I have another one coming up. Most of the funding that comes for this type of need is federal money, although the state has some too, but it all funnels through the county. So if we're going to try to funnel more of that, we do have to have a relationship with the county, and we do. I do. I have a personal relationship with a lot of the county people and plan on using that as effectively as possible to see where funds are coming from. But the one thing that's pretty clear now, as you, maybe you're not aware, but Code Blue is funded through the county. So no city money goes to that except in maybe small cases. But the what's called now the Lowberry Shelter on Adelphi is funded by the city through an agreement with RISE. And the building itself is sort of donated right now. And it is temporary. We have about a year left on that commitment. And so within that time, we have to find a workable solution, which is what I'm working on. And hopefully the county will find ways to help that, particularly with social workers.
Having recently talked with Sybil Newell over at RISE, one of her, at least, things that she would like to be focused on is refocusing RISE's attention to building, establishing, and maintaining affordable housing for those who need it, and instead handing over the management of the temporary shelter over to Shelters of Saratoga, because I know in the last administration there was a lot of back and forth over who was going to manage it, and it ended up with RISE. Is that at all sort of in the conversations that you've been having with stakeholders in transitioning the management?
Yeah, it is. It is interesting that RISE though has brought management structure to that, and I was very happy to see that, and am looking forward to a meeting to get a good idea of what kind of management people and whatnot we would need to actually man a resource center. I am aware though that, I mean, that's their bailiwick. Their bailiwick is addiction and mental. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for RISE, we wouldn't have the outreach court that we have, which is very important to my plan. At any rate, because we do have a way of helping people who don't necessarily want to be helped to at least move in a direction through the outreach court and through the support that that RISE brings to that. That's very important, as well as, they do great case management work, and we are very appreciative of that. And they do concentrate on finding housing, because if somebody's life is getting better, and they're working toward that, to have places for them to actually start living a normal life. It's very important. That's what RISE does.
The AG's report came out, and your initial statement was that the city would learn from it. What are some of those lessons that you and other members of the city council have taken away thus far?
Well, you have to remember there's been two councils since that time. So, and Tim Cole and I are as far removed from that as anybody can possibly be, but we are dealing with the consequences of those very difficult days. I mean, I was in town at those times. As you know, Commissioner Cole is a 30-year FBI. He's written millions, not millions, but thousands of reports. He knows how those reports should be written. He's against some of the facts, the way that they're presented in it. And I listen to what he has to say. I'm not really engaging very much in it because, you know, we have a lawsuit. So I'm not inclined to say too much about my opinions. The only thing that I can do is be as open as you know. A lot of some of the people who are suing the city are come and speak at the meetings, and all I can do is continue to show respect for whatever they have to say and listen to them and not say much more. So I'm kind of very neutral on this whole thing, just letting it play out.
And in you and Cole being so far removed from it and from the city leaders who were in office when the incidents within the report happened, why have that initial reaction be that there are inaccuracies in it instead of taking the report and moving forward with it? Obviously, it's important to make sure that everything is correct, but when a report comes out that says that city officials were making unconstitutional moves to surveil and quench the protests during a period of high tensions nationwide, you know, would you change that initial reaction from either you or Cole in talking about inaccuracies in it?
Well, I mean, I absolutely respect who Tim Cole is. No, this is a man who knows how to write reports, and I have to respect that with his professional career, that if he, and you know, some of the things are very small, but they're important. So I respect what he said, but I'm just letting, you know, we have, since that time, you probably know, right? You know, we have a CRB, and it's moving ahead. We funded it. It's developing its plans. I mean, I talked to the chairwoman at length about this, and since it's been formed, there have been no incidences whatsoever that would cause them to be engaged. I say that we're doing pretty good, and whether the implementation of the 50 points did that, or you know, whether, and I know that our police department has, you know, developed all kinds of new training for the officers. Of course, a lot have turned over. We have a lot of new officers, and I think we're doing a great job in being very responsive to the things we learned during that very tumultuous time. So I think we're doing very, very well. And we're implementing the 50 points, and I just think we're doing great.
Of the other large sort of pieces of legislation within City Hall, short-term rentals has been a hotly debated topic. Certainly a lot more people showed up for that meeting than did for parking. Where do you stand as the legislation is within Saratoga Springs, and then we can take it larger because it's across the state?
This is one of the good advice, pieces of advice that I took, and that is my concentration has been planning board, homelessness, right? So what I walked into was parking and short-term rentals. My take on this is I admire the fact that you had Jason Golub take on parking and that you had Dylan take on SDRs. And they've been working on it for over a year. The fact that they have been very open to having conversations with me, and the fact that we don't always agree on things, but they have been open to suggestions and have made changes based on our conversations internally. You know, these things haven't been fought out at the meetings. You know, we're meeting, we're talking. There have been a number of modifications that have been made to both parking and, which is why I was in agreement with it, and SDRs. This new proposal that is going to be brought forth here very shortly is very different from the original one and very accommodating to what we heard. If you know, that first meeting was the first time all five of us, you know, Dylan had, or Commissioner Moran had meetings before, but in different parts of the city, with very different points of view, by the way. But it was himself hearing. Now, when we were at that meeting you were at, we were all hearing. So we've been talking a lot since that time. That's why the public forum is open all the time, because nothing has changed yet. But that there is a proposal coming out very soon that is drastically different, and trying to accommodate a lot of different questions that were brought up. So we're listening, we're talking, and as long as we're doing that, the city functions. And I think it's not going to make everybody happy, but it's certainly going to address a lot of the concerns people had.
What were some of those points that have changed between then and upcoming that you were advocating for and having those conversations with Commissioner Moran to change?
Right. The difference between very tight rural single family homes like Geyser Crest, the idea of corporate ownership where the local flavor isn't there. I mean, it's one thing to have a local owner rent his own home. Certainly that was the original idea, but to own one or two homes and care about the neighborhoods, care about the neighbors, really make sure that they vet the people who are staying there. There's a whole difference between that and just a corporation that really doesn't care about the neighbors, that is just going to try and make money. To make those distinctions and to favor this tradition. I mean, this for 100 years we've had this tradition of renting our homes out, and in some cases putting kids through college or paying taxes. This is so you can't just because there's a new technology that makes it easier to do, doesn't change the fact that we want to be sure that people can continue to do that. So, but trying to regulate it is a real trick. And I give Commissioner Moran some kudos for trying to really, really listening and trying to do that.
With the Belmont coming, what's left to be made in preparations?
I think, first of all, this city thrives on having a huge tourist season. So they're gearing up a little bit earlier, but all the mechanisms to make that happen are happening. All of the kind of ways that we address any kind of a large event like this are in place. And they've been in place for a long time. It isn't something that is driven by City Hall. It's driven by the agencies that have been in place here for a while and have a very good network as to how to make things happen. It is going to be a 4-day event. We do expect to have a big Wednesday, but you have to stay tuned for what that exactly is going to be. But we expect a lot of people in town. So yes, the police department is very interested in being prepared for that. And it's not just going to be our local police. It'll be the county as well as the state is very interested in this process. So it's going to be safe. It's going to be clean. It's going to be a great event.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to Aaron for that interview. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.